place this morning.
Hallelujah, it's to our God. Every praise,
Thank you, Jesus. Would you just continue to worship him for a minute in this place? Lord Jesus, you are good. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's continue in that spirit of worship. This week I was thinking, unless he had saved me, unless he had kept me, unless he had healed me, where would I be? But by the grace of God, we're here today. Lord Jesus, we worship you. Hallelujah. We magnify your name, Jesus. We give you all the praise.
You are wonderful. our hearts ignite with desire to see your glory, to see your power. We come humbly before you, chasing your will for this moment, to see your glory, to see your power.
Amen, amen. The presence of the Lord is in this place. He's here to touch. He's here to minister. He's here to work. We're going to move into a time of prayer. If you have a need, we invite you to come forward, and our ministry team will pray with you, believing that God is going to touch, that He's going to work. We have some special needs. We want to lift the Atkins family up in prayer, believing that God is with them, believing that God sees them, believing that God is going to work with them. So if you have an unspecial need or a special need, an unspoken request, won't you lift your hand right now? There are needs all over this place. If you have a need, we invite you to come forward. We're going to pray with you down here. We believe God is here to meet you at the point of your need. Why don't we begin to lift up our hand and let's call upon Him. Come on, let's present our needs to God right now, knowing that He's in this place, and that our worship has entered into a new realm, a new dimension, and now He is here to reach, to touch, to minister to whatever we need. Whatever we need Him to do, He's here in this place. Whatever we need Him to do, won't you call upon Him right now, believing that God is in this place, believing that your answer is here, believing that God sees you, believing that God works in this place, believing that God is in this place. God, we need you to move. God, we need you to move. Yes, He's wonderful. Yes. Yes, come on, continue to worship Him in this place.
You are Creator, in You I stand here amazed. You are wonderful, we are complete in Your embrace. You are Creator. We are complete in Your embrace. You are Creator, in You I stand here amazed. You are wonderful. We are complete in Your embrace. You are Creator. We are complete in Your embrace. You are Creator. In You I stand here amazed. You are wonderful. We are complete in Your embrace. You are Creator.
You are
home. We are complete in your embrace. You are creator, and you worship our hearts, ignite with desire to see your glory, to see your power. We come humbly before you, tasting your will for this moment, to see your glory. Power, we abandonly worship our hearts, ignite with desire to see your glory, to see your power. We come humbly before you, glory, to see your power. We abandonly worship our hearts, ignite with desire to see your glory, to see your
hallelujah
power.
There's a pushing aside right now that I feel. Nothing else matters but to be in his throne room, to be at his feet, to sit on his lap right now. Everything else is being pushed aside. When there's a move of a God like this, this is so precious. This is unlike anything else. And I don't know how many miles between something like this is right here, right now, into another place where this is happening. This is what makes it so special and so rare. When God comes and moves like this, this is what's going to attract people from north and the south and the east and the west. This right here, I want to facilitate an environment, praise him in the firmament and his power. I want to facilitate this environment so God is able to move the way he desires to move. He anticipates to do something. He's not a God that just sits on a throne and does not move. He's a God that gets up off his throne and he moves through our aisles, and he's ready and poised to do something every Sunday. And it is his desire to meet you at your very need right where you're at. He is ready to move. If you're ready to move outside of your seat right now, he was there to move and to meet you. He will meet you before you make it to the altar. But the altar is a precious place to where your life is altered and can be changed in one very moment, in one very day. And Jesus, I want to continually, can we just strive for this as a church body? We have a spirit of unity, but I believe this is going to attract so many people, what we feel right here and right now. This is going to be so what people are going to desire. This is what people are going to be longing for, and this is a place where his glory is going to rest, and people are going to find peace. People are going to find hope. People are going to find restitution. People are going to find salvation. People are going to find a fresh start in an environment like this. It is so precious. Lord, have your way. May your kingdom come and your will be done every time we get together. In Jesus' name, what you do and what you desire to do and what you're doing is so precious in this place. I thank you, God. Can we just honor God for a moment? Give him a hand clap of praise. Give him a shout. Thank you, God, for what you're doing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus.
I so enjoyed the word of God that was spoken here an hour ago. And I'm anticipating that God has more for us here today. With a couple announcements we have, we're going to have corporate prayer tonight at 6 p.m. And peanut brittle season is well underway. And there was a turnout Thursday night, and there is peanut brittle for sale $6 for patties, $8 for a tin, and we have a special video that was prepared for us. So we're going to look at a video right now. Awesome. If you can't have fun living for God, you're doing it wrong. We're going to ask the ushers to come at this time. One more announcement. On Tuesday, November 26th, it's just a week and a half away, our regularly scheduled Wednesday night service is going to be moved till Tuesday, and it'll be at 7 o'clock, a special Thanksgiving service on Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. Brother Gary, would you pray for the offering?
Stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whispers of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. Of your ways to us. Oh, his love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. He's so unexplainable, I can hardly think as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still into love. Love, love, you're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. Oh, it's love so undeniable, I can hardly speak. He's so unexplainable, I can hardly think as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still as you call me. Deeper still into love. Love, 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 you're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us.
Sing that to
you
right
are perfect
now.
In all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to us. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways. You are perfect in all of your ways to
perfect in everything that he does. Every step, every plan, he's perfect. He's perfect in everything that he does. It is good to be in church with you this morning. Amen. Before we move forward, we want to take a moment and have special prayer for our lost loved ones. We all know the names. We all know the people. Let's just, right where we're at, let's lift up our hands and let's ask God to reach and meet them wherever they may be. In Jesus' name. God, there are some names, there are some family members that are represented here. I pray, God, that you would reach to them, that you would touch them, draw them back to you. God, call them out of a dark place. God, call them out of a trouble, out of a trial, out of some tribulation. God, that your perfectness would show through to them. God, that your plan, God, would be made manifest in their life. Lord, show yourself. God, they need you now. They need you now more than ever, God. Open their eyes to see you. Open their eyes to see that they need you, God. They need you to speak. They need you, Jesus. Amen. Amen. Sister Joella. If it was our plan, if it was our plan, they would just come back today. They'd be here. They'd never leave. If it was our plan, if we knew, if God would only do it the way we knew what was right. But God knows exactly what he's doing. He's perfect. And I believe he is working and he is moving and he is touching. I look forward to many more interruptions, many more testimonies. I believe God has many more testimonies of what he is going to do for our lost loved ones. I want to turn our attention to the book of Acts, chapter 23 and verse 10. And as you're turning there, I do want to welcome Jim and Heather. So nice to have you guys today. Some of you have already shaken their hand. Make sure you get around, shake their hands. They're sitting by a celebrity that was in the video. I don't know. He just can't help but be in front of the camera. He glows when he's in front of the camera. The book of Acts, chapter 23 and verse 10. It says, "And when there arose a great dissension, the chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces of them, commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force from among them and to bring him into the castle." Verse 11, "The night following, the Lord stood by him and said, 'Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome.'" I want to speak to us just for a few moments, hopefully an encouraging message, hopefully something that we can take with us as we go throughout our week, hopefully something that can brighten our day, but be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Let's bow our heads. Let's ask God to move in this place. God, we've already felt your presence. We know you're here. We know you're trying to accomplish something. So I pray, God, as we leave this service, we would be of good cheer. We would know that you are on the throne. We would know that you've got a plan, that everything you do is perfect, that we'd have joy in the Holy Ghost that would fall fresh on me, that we would be loosed. God, we would just know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you are working on our behalf. God, that these small little testimonies, these small things you are doing, God, you would continue to do daily, daily, daily. God, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. And the church said amen. Amen. You may be seated. I had the opportunity last night to continue, and I meant to have prayer for her, and we will have prayer as we close service. But Izzy, one of the children that has come to church and has been a regular through our bus and van ministry, had the opportunity to talk with her last night, and she's going through some difficult times. Keep her in your prayers. There's some very sensitive things that she's up against that a 12-year-old should never have to face. And I told her she wasn't going to be able to be here today, so I told her what I was speaking, and I said, just take these four words with you. Be of good cheer. And she, she's 12, she didn't really want to listen. And I said, when you go to bed tonight, these four words, what are you going to say? Good night. I said, good night, good cheer, that's close enough. I said, tomorrow morning, what are the four words you're going to say whenever you wake up? She said, good morning. I said, good morning, good cheer, close enough. But my message, I'm going to be very forthright, going to go into the story that Paul experiences. But my message is very clear. I want us to end this service with a smile on our face, knowing that God is on the throne. Amen. Amen. So in our text tonight, or our text today, Paul, he's been testifying of Jesus all throughout Judea. He's ruffled feathers at every single place he's gone. He's ticked people off because they don't want to hear about Jesus. He's been run out of everywhere for preaching the gospel. He's been run out of Athens, out of Corinth, out of Ephesus. And everywhere he's tried to preach, people have been against him. And so we pick up in our text, and I just read it, but I'll read it again. We see the anger towards Paul just for preaching Jesus, just for preaching the kingdom of God. Acts 23, verse 10, there arose a great dissension. The chief captain, fearing lest Paul should have been pulled in pieces, fearing that they were going to tear him to shreds, literally, he commanded the soldiers to go down and to take him by force and to bring him into the castle. Just for doing what God has called him to do, he is being attacked. And not just one of those, oh, I'm really being attacked today. You know, the enemy's really out to get me. No, he is, I mean, for fear of being pulled apart in pieces, he is being attacked. It's not just an emotional, it's not just a spiritual attack. It's a physical attack. He's facing something very real. But God shows himself that night. And the verse we read, chapter 23, verse 11, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul. It's easy for you to say, God. I'm just being torn to shreds and I'm in prison, but be of good cheer, Paul. Thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. God came to remind him that I have a plan for you, Paul. Be of good cheer. You've been doing right. You preached in Jerusalem. Don't worry. I have a plan for you to preach in Rome. I have something specific. So be of good cheer because this is not how it ends. Some of you are facing real hurts today. You're facing real trials, real battles, real physical pain in your body that nobody even knows about. Real spiritual attacks that nobody even knows about. And I believe that God wants to show up to you and do what he did to Paul and say, be of good cheer. I am with you. I have a plan for you. I am still working. God's not done yet. I believe God is still speaking in the middle of the night. I believe God's still speaking in the middle of the day on a church service on Sunday. He's still speaking to us today. Be of good cheer. I've got a plan for you. Be of good cheer. I'm not done yet. I'm working. Now, I'd love to tell you that the next day, like I just said when we're talking about our lost loved ones, but I'd love to say the next day, Paul is then transported to Rome to bear witness, just like God told him. But unfortunately, that isn't how it works. Unfortunately, life doesn't always work the way we think it should. And one succinct verse pulls back the curtain, just one minor verse in Acts chapter 24 shows us what Paul has been dealing with. Verse 27, it said, after 2 years, Porcius Festus came into Felix's room, and Felix, willing to show the Jews a pleasure, left Paul bound. But after 2 years, just a quick little verse, just 15 words, all it is to us. But to Paul, 2 years. And it says he left him bound, which means he was bound before. So for 2 years, God gave him a promise. Don't worry, you're going to go preach in Rome. Now 2 years, sit in a jail cell and do nothing. 2 years. 2 years, just sit there by yourself. 2 years to remain bound. And Paul, he's been moved to Caesarea. Different Roman governors, different officials, they've come to talk with him. They've come to figure out what's going on, and nothing has happened. Ain't that just like the government? 2 years. But he got a promise from God to be of good cheer. He got a plan from God, and now he spends 2 years in bondage, not preaching in Rome. He spends 2 years not feeling relief. He spends 2 years wondering if he actually heard the voice of God or not. 2 years locked away. And because, excuse me, but with our plan, this isn't how it's supposed to work. It should be, like I said before, that God gives us a plan, he gives us a promise, and then tomorrow he fixes it, and we are good to go. Right? Right, Sister Sue Ann? That's how it should be for us. That's how it's supposed to be. But God, we say, but God, you gave me a promise my family would be saved. God, you gave me a promise that I wouldn't be bound in physical bondage. God, you gave me a promise. We like to remind God of his promises as if he forgot his promises. We like to point and tell him, God, you promised me. You promised me. But God knows what he promised. God doesn't promise something and forget about it. We need to remind ourselves that God gave us a promise. That instead of pointing up to God, saying, God, you gave me a promise, we would point to our storm and say, God, you gave me a promise. We'd point to our trial and say, God, you gave me a promise. God, you're gonna work. God, I don't see how, I don't see why, but you gave me a promise. It's 2 years, God, but you gave me a promise. You gave me a promise. You gave me a promise. God knows what he promised, so I will not be defeated in my mind. I cannot control my situation. I cannot control the circumstance, but I can control my mindset. And I will not be defeated in mind. I will not be discouraged. I will not be negative. I will be of good cheer. God, you gave me a promise. God's given some people some promises today. And it may be, it could be 20 years. It could be 20, it could be 30 years. I hope it's not for you. But God, if he gave you a promise, that promise is still good. That promise is still going to come to pass. And here's how I know. Because Jesus tells his disciples how to handle bondage, how to handle trials, how to handle situations. He says in John 16:33, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Be of good cheer. You're going to have peace because in this world you will have tribulation. How many could stand and say, I've been through some tribulation? I don't even know what a tribulation is, but I've been through it. I've been up against it. I've had my back against the wall. I've had overdrawn bank accounts. I've had family issues. You could stand and you could just make us all pretty sad to know what you've been up against. But then as you finished what you've been up against, you could turn it and you, from all the negative, you could say, but I'm still standing here. But I have been young and now I am old, but I have never seen the righteous forsaken. Amen. Amen. God is still an overcomer. It's the same thing he tells Paul when he's being locked away in the castle. Be of good cheer. Getting ready to go into 2 years of bondage. Be of good cheer. It's the same thing he tells his disciples. You're going to have tribulations, but be of good cheer. And it's the same thing he's telling us today. Be of good cheer. I'm not saying it's going to be easy. I'm not saying it's going to be the smoothest path. I'm not saying that, but be of good cheer because God has overcome the world. The overcomer has already taken care of it. The overcomer is here, and he is here to meet you at the point of your need. The overcomer sees you. See, the problem is we look at time as linear. We are in the trial. We are in the storm, so God will overcome. We will overcome it. But that's not the words that Jesus uses in this text. He says, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. He hadn't been crucified yet. He hadn't been resurrected yet. His spirit hadn't been poured out yet. He hadn't accomplished what he was set out to accomplish. But he still says, I have overcome the world. And the reason he says that is because Jesus and God are outside of time. See, when he spoke the words, when he, even though he was in 25 AD or whatever timeline we would put it to, he was actually outside of time and space, and he knew he has already overcome the world. He knew he's already finished it. He's already taken care of it. So though you may be in a storm, God has already gone outside of time. He's already gone outside of space, and he's already overcome whatever situation you've come up against. He's already overcome the situation that you've not even seen yet. What is coming for you in 2021, that curveball that you don't even see, you couldn't imagine that this was going to happen to your family, I got good news for you. God is an overcomer, and he's already overcome that situation. He's already provided a way out. He's already worked for you. God, he is an overcomer. He has overcome. Not he will overcome. You will overcome. It hasn't happened to you yet. But for God, he already has overcome. It's done. It's past tense for him. So although you might be in a storm, for God, he's already sees the rainbow. He's an overcomer. We need to know that he is an overcomer. Despite your circumstances, it's already overcame. despite your opinion, despite your perception, despite your emotion, despite your feeling, God is an overcomer. You can't overcome it, but God can. We should celebrate that. We should be excited about that. Turn to your neighbor. Won't you high-five somebody and say, God's an overcomer. That's a weak high-five. Come on, high-five somebody. Tell that same person, look at the person next to you, tell them, I'll face tribulations. Say, you'll face tribulations, but we will be of good cheer because God has already overcome. You need to know that. We have to leave this place knowing God has already overcome. And so I'm not going to be sad. I'm not going to be downtrodden. I'm not going to be overwhelmed. You know, to be honest, we were supposed to baptize two little girls today. I got a text at about 9:15, 9:30 this morning that it wasn't going to work out. And I'll be very honest. It was hard to be of good cheer because I was of good cheer since Thursday night when I knew we were going to do that. And I've been excited. Brother Ryan and I spent 5 hours in the baptismal tank, freezing to death, pressure washing, trying to get it all pretty and clean. If anybody wants to be baptized, it is warm and ready today. Amen. Amen. But I'll be honest, when I got that text, my good cheer balloon let out a little air because I was excited about what God was going to do and how he was going to baptize, he was going to wash away. I was excited, and my balloon just went, and my wife came in, and I told her the news, and my wife, as she always does, said, well, that doesn't matter. You're speaking of good cheer, so this is for us. We're going to be of good cheer. And you know what, babe? It is for us. I am of good cheer. God knows exactly what he's doing. I wish we were baptizing them today. We aren't, but God's got a plan. It's perfect, and we're in it. And he knows what he's doing, and so I will not be sad. I will be of good cheer knowing that he's already overcome, knowing that he's already working in their lives. Amen. We are not a beaten down people. We are not an overwhelmed people. We may face situations and feel that way from time to time, but we are not beaten down. Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 4:8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. You may be cast down, but you got back up and you came to church on a Sunday morning. You're not destroyed. You may be overwhelmed, but you're not in despair. God is fighting for you. The overcomer is here, so be of good cheer. You made it to a Sunday service. Be of good cheer. God still has a plan for you. God still knows what he's doing. God's still on the throne. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. God knows what he's doing. Hallelujah. God knows. God knows. God knows, Brother Al. God knows exactly what he's doing. He knows what he's doing. And so, turning our attention back to Paul, finally, after 2 long years, Paul gets the opportunity to fulfill the promise that God gave him to go to Rome and to preach the gospel. And Acts 27 begins the story, and I won't read the verses for sake of time, but they're setting out on a 500-mile journey across the Mediterranean Sea, and they've decided to set out during winter when the winter storms hit. Although Paul told them, this is a bad idea, we shouldn't do this, we should just wait until springtime, they still set out because they know better than what Paul does. And so immediately, as soon as they set out, they get into a wind, and it's a tempest wind. It's a violent wind, and the storm begins to blow, and it takes them off course. And for 14 days, they have no control of the ship. For 14 days, they just let go of the wheel. They pull down the sails because if they have the sails up, it will tear the sails to shreds. For 14 days, they are battered. For 14 days, the scripture tells us that because of the clouds, they can't see neither sun nor stars. They don't know what direction they're going. They don't know if it's night or day. It's terrible. They start to loose everything on the ship that has weight just so they're lighter. And so they're throwing food overboard. They're throwing ropes overboard. They're throwing everything that is not necessary overboard. And And we see them, and finally, they drop anchor, and they're way off course. They're not where they should have been. They're not where they set out to be, and they've gone to the point where they are no longer even eating, and the scripture doesn't say it's for lack of food or for sickness or simply that they had just abandoned all hope of survival. Scripture doesn't tell us, but it's a rough, rough, dire situation for 276 men who are on board, 276 of them. There's dissension in the ship. There's heartache. There's just tragedy. I mean, you'd give up hope. You don't even know where you can't tell if it's night or day. It's just storm everywhere you look. Why would I continue? And how many times could we stand and say, I found myself in a similar position to what Paul and those 275 men did. Beat to death by a storm. Beat just to barely hanging on. To where it seems, and I've experienced this, and some of you more so than me have experienced a time where you just couldn't even leave the house. You just didn't even want to turn a light on. You're just so beat down. Just so abused. Just the storms of life just hitting you left and right. And you don't know what day it is. You don't know up from down. You don't know your direction. You're way off course. You don't know anything about what you're supposed to be doing. You've abandoned all hope of survival. You've resigned to the fact that it is always going to be like this. This is what it is. It'd be easy to do that when you're in that storm. This is all you know. It's all you've experienced. This is not the plan. God said, be of good cheer. You're going to go preach in Rome. I was in prison for 2 years, God. I wasn't preaching in Rome. Now I'm finally going there. Now I'm in a storm for 14 days. Now how am I going to get to Rome? I'm not going to survive another day. How am I going to do this? And at this moment, in the darkest part of the storm, Paul stands up and he says to those on the ship in Acts 27, verse 21, it says, but after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, you should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete and to have gained this harm and loss. Seems like a pretty inopportune time to say, I told you so, but I guess when you're a little petty and you told them so. But he's telling them, you should have listened to spiritual authority, and maybe you wouldn't have ended up in the storm in the first place. That's another sermon for another time, and I'm not trying to step on any toes, but ask yourself, whose counsel are you listening to? Paul told them clearly in Acts 27:10, I didn't read it, but he told them clearly, guys, we shouldn't do this. God told me this is not a good time. The storms are happening. Actually, he doesn't even say God told me the storms are happening. He just said the storms are happening. It wasn't even God spoke to him. It was just common sense. We shouldn't travel now. Sometimes we need to just listen to common sense and not trying to, Lord, get me back on track. But he's telling them, we shouldn't have done this. If we wouldn't have done this, we wouldn't have gained this harm and loss, he says. But he continues in verse 22, but now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Paul comes to him in the middle of the night, 14 days of a storm. He comes to him and he says, fear not, Paul, I still got to bring you to Caesar. He comes to him with a reminder. He doesn't come with him with fear not, Paul, the storm is over. He says, fear not, Paul, I still got to get you to Caesar. Fear not, Paul, I still got a plan for you. Fear not, I gave you a promise. And maybe you feel like Paul or one of those other prisoners on the ship, but I feel like God is here to tell somebody, fear not, I still got a plan for you. Fear not, I'm still working on your behalf. And it'd be easy for probably if a prisoner was like myself to say, why did I ever leave that wretched jail cell? At least I wasn't in a boat floating out in the middle of the sea.
At least I had food to eat. At least I had a roof over my head. Yeah, I was shackled between bow and bub right and left, but man, at least I had friends to talk to. Now I got nothing. It would be easy to be like that, but the angel of the Lord has come to remind somebody, fear not, I am with you. God still knows what he's doing. He still knows what he's doing. It's not a reminder for him. God didn't show up to remind Paul to remind himself, if that makes sense. He showed up to remind Paul, I'm with you. He showed up to remind Paul that you're not by yourself. And so Paul continues to the other men on the ship. And this is the words that Paul says in Acts 27, 25. He just tells them that God's going to be with you, that no one is going to perish on this ship. And so he says, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told to me. He hearkens back to a jail cell. He hearkens back to the first time he heard the plan, the first time he heard the promise from God. The plan and promise to go to Rome. He hears that. So he turns to the men that are facing a 14-day storm with no food, no future, and a certain death. And those words come to Paul's mind. Be of good cheer. God didn't tell him be of good cheer in this moment. He told him to fear not. But Paul remembered what kept him when he was in a jail cell. He remembered what kept him for 14 days in a storm with no end in sight. When God spoke to him, be of good cheer. So the only thing Paul could do is to turn to those around him and say, be of good cheer. Because the promise God has given you isn't just for you. The promise in that moment was for 275 other men. There was 275 other people that needed to hear a promise from God. There's 275 other people that were going to be saved just because Paul was in the ship with them. You might be the only person seeking God for your family. You might be the only person in the ship, but God has given you a promise. God has spoken to you, be of good cheer, so you could take that promise and you could turn to those around you and you could say, be of good cheer. Be of good cheer. If God gave you a promise, God gave you a promise so you can share it with those around you. You could be the only person. They didn't hear. Those on the ship, they didn't hear from God. They didn't hear fear not. They didn't see the angel of God. They didn't hear be of good cheer. They needed Paul to remind them. Those people around you, your family members, these lost loved ones, they're not in service today hearing be of good cheer. They're not in this place hearing be of good cheer. They need you to tell them be of good cheer. They need you to encourage them as a mother, as a father, as a brother. Be of good cheer. God is an overcomer. I know you're in a rough spot, but be of good cheer. God is an overcomer. As we all stand, we're going to close. My wife told me last night, I was telling her what we were talking about, and she happened to see on her Facebook, I didn't even tell her I was going to use this, so I'm using this. Thanks, babe. She posted 8 years ago, and you know you can see what you posted many years ago. But 8 years ago yesterday, she posted this quote from Martha Washington. And her quote is, I am determined to be cheerful and happy in whatever situation I may find myself. For I have learned that the greater part of our misery or unhappiness is determined not by our circumstances, but by our disposition. It is true, Martha Washington is not Paul the apostle, but it is still true today. Your misery or unhappiness is determined not by your circumstances, but by your disposition. You may not be able to control your situation today. I wish you could control your situation, but you can't control your situation. But the only thing you can control is how do you feel about it. What's your attitude towards it? Because the suffering that you're up against is temporary. The pain is temporary. What you're fighting is temporary, but be of good cheer because God is an overcomer. For the last time, I'm going to read this today. These things I have spoken to you, John 16:33, that in me you might have peace, but in the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. You shall have heartbreak, but I have overcome the world. You shall have unknown, but I have overcome the world. You shall have pain, but I have overcome the world. I wish that I could speak and I could have individual one-on-one situations and tell you what God is going to do and how he's going to provide a way out and how it's going to be great and how it's going to be grand. And I wish I knew the end. I don't know the end. And it's probably a good thing because you'd say, no, I don't want that end. I want something different. So that's why God doesn't do that. But I can look at somebody today and say, I don't know how, Brother Greg. I don't know why. I don't know when. I don't know what. But I do know that you can be of good cheer because God has overcome the world. God has overcome the world. And so as we close service today, you can see we're already a little juking and jiving. We're going to sing the song that we sang in first service, and we are going to end this service of good cheer. We're going to sing about having the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me, and we're going to have the joy of the Lord falling fresh on us. Because I know that some of us came in here with bad cheer, or whatever the opposite of good cheer is, negativity. I know we came in carrying some burdens, and maybe you came in and it's just everything you could do to get here today. Well, I want you to leave this place, leaving your burdens in an altar, leaving them in God's hands, joyful in the Holy Ghost, that God knows what he's doing, that he brought you here today, and he wants you to leave this place with a smile on your face. So I'm going to open up the altar, and I'm going to invite you to come and just find a place and just get some joyfulness. Why don't you just worship God as we close this service? Come on, we're going to sing, but I'm opening up the altar. Let's just be joyful.
Joy of the Lord falling fresh on me.
Come on,
I feel
get
the
your joy today.
Joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. Feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me.
You are the saddest looking joyful people I've ever seen in my...
I feel the joy of the Lord falling.
Come on. Did God save you? Hey, I know you're in a situation right now, but does God still, is he still the overcomer? Is he still on the throne? We should be excited about that. We should have some real joy in the Holy Ghost. I know you got trials. I know you got struggles, but God is in this place. Come on, let's sing this and let's glorify him. God, we worship you. God, I feel the joy of the Lord. I feel the Holy Ghost in this place. God, I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost God, all over me. Hallelujah.
I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me.
Hallelujah.
I never lose. I've been set free. So pardon me a moment while I'm here to believe. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. I've been loose. I've been set free. So pardon me a moment while I'm here to believe. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. I feel the joy of the Lord falling fresh on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me.
We need joy as a church. We need joy. Sometimes, I agree, it is hard when you're in something. It is hard to have joy for yourself. It is hard when it's a real situation. So I'm going to ask us to do one step further, and then I'll let it go. I'm sorry. But why don't you just partner up with somebody, be sensitive, men with men, women with women, and we're just going to lock arms. We're going to lock hands. We're going to have joy together. We're going to
Don't be violent. We're not running. We're not going on a sprint. We're not doing anything. But if all you can do is bounce, just bounce. But I promise, just moving a little bit, you start to feel a little joy. So grab somebody by the hand. Babe, come here. We're just going to grab somebody by the hand. We're just going to feel a little joy. We're just going to move a little bit. Come on, God's got joy for us. God's got joy for us.
Oh, I feel the joy of the Lord coming. Press on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. I feel the joy of the Lord coming. Press on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. I feel the joy of the Lord falling. Press on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. Keeping me in bondage through my sorrow and pain. I deserve better. I won't go another day. I'm here to claim deliverance in Jesus' name. I feel the joy of the Lord falling. Touch on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. I feel the joy of the Lord falling. Press on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me. I am royal blood flowing through my veins. I'm a child of the King. I've been buried in His name. There is no devil that can come against me. I've been blessed, I've been bought, I have been set free. I feel the joy of the Lord falling. Fresh on me. I feel the joy of the Lord delivering me. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me.
Why don't we clap our hands to God right now all over this place? Why don't we thank Him for what He's done today? God, we thank You, Jesus, for the joy of the Holy Ghost. God, for Your word, Jesus. We thank You, Jesus. We thank You, Jesus. There are two options. Excuse me. There are two options for how your day is going to start tomorrow. You're either going to wake up, you're going to dread another day. It's another Monday, got to go to work, I'm still facing this battle. I still am ugly, I still don't have enough money in the bank, I still got all these bad things. You're going to wake up like that, or you're going to wake up and you're going to say, I am going to be of good cheer, because my God is an overcomer, because my God loves me, because my God has provided a way for me.
I have been losing, I've been set free. So pardon me a moment while I have it to relieve. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me.
Hallelujah.
I have been loose, I've been set free. So pardon me a moment while I have it to relieve. I feel the joy of the Holy Ghost all over me.
Amen, amen, amen. 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 So as we leave this place today, have a smile on your face. Know that God is there. If you see somebody with not even just a zero on their face, what's a neutral, that to be a better word. If you see even a neutral facial expression, you tell them, be of good cheer. Right. We're all smiles today because God is in control. You're dismissed today. We have prayer tonight at 6 p.m. Shake someone's hand.